just in time for kickoff. Hooters' famous saucy wings, delicious seafood, half-pound stacked burgers, and fresh chopped salads. Hooters is honored to serve the Tampa Bay community with delicious take-home and a great place to watch the game with friends and family. Providing that famous neighborhood hospitality only Hooters can deliver. Hooters, proud sponsor of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Visit originalhooters.com for locations near you.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Season 6, Episode 49, presented by Hooters and driven by Bill Curry Ford. When you're in the market to change vehicles, whether you want something brand new or something pre-owned, and keep in mind when I say pre-owned, Bill Curry has a wide selection of automobiles from various manufacturers, not exclusively Ford product. Seek out Sean Sullivan at Bill Curry Ford. If you can't find Sean at the dealership, you find Grace Thomas and you tell her that you are a listener of mine, and she will tell you where Sean Sullivan is and how to get him in front of you so you can tell him you're a listener. You can talk a little football with him. He has his own podcast at JoeBucksFan.com. And then you can tell him why you're there in terms of a new Ford vehicle or a pre-owned vehicle of the variety on the Bill Curry Ford lot. All right? Sean Sullivan is the key. You can't find him. You find and ask for Grace Thomas. Tell him Todd Wright sent you at Bill Curry Ford, Northdale Mabry in Tampa. Sean writes the checks for $1,000 to every winner of a Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast League. That is the annual home of our podcast draft, the showroom floor of the dealership. Sean will not be making the playoffs this year. He had a good run early. All of us have had, in all likelihood, to deal with some odd things, injuries. Bye weeks continue to be a nuisance. Although, due to some of the injuries, it's not as big of a deal this week as I thought it would be when I first looked at the schedule for week 13. But back to Sean Sullivan. He plays in the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast League, specifically the NFL League. And remember, my podcast leagues, much like my personal league, the Foundation, have no entry fee. So the $1,000 check you win from Bill Curry Ford for playing in a podcast league is independent of shelling out any money. There is no entry fee. So remember that when we get to, summer next year, when you hear me soliciting whether or not you want to play in a Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast League. Bill Curry Ford, Northdale Mabry in Tampa. All right. I want to start by updating the podcast leagues and the loyal listeners who play in those leagues, because in the podcast leagues, I still ended the regular season with week 13. So this is it. I'm doing a 3-week playoff with 2 first round byes in both leagues. So we'll have a champion of both podcast leagues, the NFL and AFL, by the end of week 16. The reason why I did that is to have the two winners play each other. And they might have one or two of the same players in an offline AFL versus NFL Super Bowl matchup for an additional prize in week 17. And don't worry, Sean. I know, and we all appreciate you writing $1,000 checks to the winner of the AFL and NFL. I don't expect you to write a third check to the winner of the Super Bowl. I'm not writing a check, but I'll take care of the winner with a Todd Wright Tour golf tournament prize for my inventory for the upcoming Todd Wright Tour XXXIII at West Chase Golf Club. So I have that covered, Sean. So that's what we're doing in that league, or in the podcast leagues. In the AFL, 3 owners have clinched playoff berths. the first round buys could come from these three. Not guaranteed. But I wanted to mention the exploits of Kevin, Tony, and Dan. They're in the playoffs in the AFL Podcast League. If Greg and Will win this week, they're in the playoffs. And Chris will be saved by the wild card that awards the final playoff spot to the team that has the most points that doesn't get in on wins. So Chris is going to get in. He has scored more points than anyone in the league this year. Over in the NFL Podcast League, by the way, the equivalent to Chris is Ira, the sage, Ira Kaufman. He has outscored everyone in the NFL Podcast League. So Ira is going to get in. He hasn't clinched a playoff berth, but the total points is the safety net. So Ira's going to get in. Dave Wirth, Todd Wright Tour Hall of Famer, longtime Channel 10 anchor of sports and news, and current Innisbrook starter on the first tee at Copperhead most of the time. Dave's in. Defending champ Rob Wright is in, father of baby Benjamin. The other three spots are up for grabs, likely any combination of ABC Action News chief meteorologist Dennis Phillips, the powers to be at joebucksfan.com, Mike Lentz, who is feeding everyone at Todd Wright Tour 33 from Papa John's of Tampa Bay, and me. And technically, 2019 defending champion Val is not out of it yet, but that's just the math. It's going to be tough for Val to get into this year's playoffs. So there's the update on the two podcast leagues. Remember, the podcast leagues are free to play in. When I ask next July and August, if you are a listener and you live in the greater Tampa Bay area and you can make yourself available for an in-person draft, that's how I do them. We even made TV this year with Bay News 9, Spectrum Bay News 9 coming out and doing a feature on us that aired on both Bay News 9 and Central Florida News 13 for like round the clock in the days that followed our podcast draft night. So remember that for next year, because we'll be back with the season 7, provided Hooters and Bill Curry Ford and JoeBucksFan.com want to do this again. And I see no reason why they wouldn't, considering we have pressed on through some odd circumstances the last couple of years. All right, so buys this week. Green Bay on bye. That affects Devontae Adams owners like me. Aaron Jones owners, with him getting back on the field last week, but likely having more of a role in future weeks. A.J. Dillon has had more value in recent weeks and just looks like someone that Green Bay is going to lean on a lot going forward and in future years. Aaron Rodgers apparently will not have surgery on the broken toe. He's just hoping the bye week rest will allow it to heal to the point where he can feel better about it when he takes the field in week 14. Other byes, Carolina. Boy, the bottom fell out of the return of Cam Newton fast. McCaffrey now officially out for the year, so Chuba Hubbard becomes someone who will have value for the postseason in your fantasy leagues. The value of DJ Moore is all over the place. It looked like it was going to come back up with Cam, and then came the horrible game against the Dolphins. Tennessee is on bye this week. If you're hanging on to Derrick Henry, I don't know why. Ryan Tannehill off, not that he's been a QB1, but better in some recent weeks without Derrick Henry, with an emphasis on throwing. A.J. Brown already on IR. He won't even return after the bye. early as he can return is week 15. No idea on Julio Jones. Titans kind of a mess when it comes to fantasy. And there was one other team that was on bye for week 14. Did I already touch on them? Or did, yeah, Cleveland, I'm sorry. So if you are a Nick Chubb owner, a Kareem Hunt owner, a very disappointed Nick Chubb owner or Kareem Hunt owner based on the Sunday night game against the Ravens, you'll be without them in your backfield for week 13. Both, I would think, would be strong plays in week 14 based on Hunt having another week to rest and just the Browns trying to erase the taste of a horrific offensive performance in a very winnable game at Baltimore. I don't think Baker Mayfield has much of a future at this point in Cleveland. I'm starting to put together a Cleveland-Minnesota trade where Cleveland takes on the last year of Kirk Cousins' deal. Minnesota takes back Baker Mayfield in the last year of his deal, likely extends Baker Mayfield. Minnesota throws Cleveland some form of a draft pick because of the high cap number that Cousins brings. The Vikings take the $10 million in dead money. Baker gets a new start. Cousins is familiar with Stefanski. I'm starting to wonder if that makes sense for both teams. All right, let's look at some things fantasy-wise as it relates to not my rankings, but my 21st century scoring settings on season average per game. This takes out bye week factors. This takes out games where players sat out due to COVID or due to injury. Let me just look at where the running backs are in terms of average points per game. Derrick Henry still number one, but not going to help fantasy owners the rest of this year. Jonathan Taylor at number two. Austin Eckler still at number three. Joe Mixon. Did Joe score? He had to have scored. I mean, yeah, he scored twice. Joe Mixon has not only scored every game since October 17th. He didn't score. He might have scored a receiving touchdown. I can't look at that with the quick way I pull up my numbers here. But Joe Mixon just scores. He scoffs at the term touchdown dependent being a negative phrase. Joe Mixon scoffs at it because he just goes out and does it. He's RB4. And that's still counting Derrick Henry as RB1 on average points per game played. Alvin Kamara, is he coming back for the Thursday game against the Cowboys? Probably. Limited in practice on Monday, but that's a good sign for Kamara, who's RB5. Chubb, RB6, he's off this week. Cordarrelle bounced back big in week 7. For the Falcons in their game against the Jaguars as Urban Meyer plots his path to South Bend, Indiana, and how he can get out of his Jaguar deal to take the one job he's always wanted. The Notre Dame head coaching job is open as of the time of this podcast being taped 10 a.m. on Tuesday morning. But yeah, Cordarrelle bounced back. He has the Buccaneers this week. Scored against the Buccaneers in week 2 when the Falcons hung in there until the fourth quarter. He's kind of all the Falcons have. That's it. He's kind of all they got. So garbage time or crunch time, Patterson gets his number called. Ezekiel Elliott. I don't see him on the injury report. Jerry Jones said this morning that Jones, I'm sorry, that Zeke, I'm just looking at this now, that Zeke isn't going to sit out despite some of the reports from Ed Werder, Ian Rappaport, good people. Jones does a radio show in Dallas weekly, and I guess that's where this came from, unless he did some press availability. He is the GM. But Jerry says no plans to change Zeke's workload. Probably very motivated by the fact that the Cowboys had a shitty November. Other than one big half against Atlanta, it wasn't good. James Conner gets back on the field, one of the touchdown leaders in running back Najee Harris. Among healthy players, no one touches the ball more at skill positions than Najee Harris. Dalvin Cook, that's an interesting one. It went from looking like he was done for the year to done for a few weeks, and now his coach says it's not that serious, although we are dealing with Mike Zimmer, who called the reports of Adam Schefter that Cook would miss at least 2 weeks false, and Cook was day-to-day. So keep checking status on that. Fournette, enormous game. It was Fournette who had the enormous game and not Jonathan Taylor in the Bucs win against the Colts as Fournette bounces back big from falling just outside the top 20 in my running back settings to now just outside the top 10. Then there's Eli Mitchell. I'll tell you, when Eli plays, they work the hell out of him. Not quite as much as Washington worked Antonio Gibson with the touch count in the first half of their win on Monday night against Seattle. Then Daryl Henderson, and we'll stop about there. Let me check the updated wide receiver tight end flex boards for average points per game played. Debo Samuel, okay, Cooper Kupp's still number one. Debo Samuel left the Niner game in what looked like a very serious groin injury. Kyle Shanahan did say Debo is expected to miss 1 to 2 weeks. The Niners hopeful to have him back for week 14 at Seattle. That hurts me, as I invested heavily in Debo Samuel before the trade deadline. But yeah, that injury kind of had that abrupt look to it, with how important Debo Samuel is and how Kyle Shanahan uses him in the Niner offense. Tyreek Hill, wide receiver, tight end 3. Antonio Brown could be back finally for the Bucs at the Falcons. I don't have any update on him as of Tuesday morning, but more optimistic than any time in the last month on Antonio Brown returning. Justin Jefferson's been a rock, wide receiver slash tight end 5 in my 21st century scoring settings. Devontae Adams has the week off. Then Jamar Chase now down to 7. That's the lowest Chase has been all year, in a bit of a scoring drought. And also, in 3 of his last 4 games, he's only touched the ball 3 times. Home games coming up against the Chargers and Niners. This is a little bit of regression. I'd be concerned with the touch counts. It's just Burrow and Chase not connecting on those explosive plays downfield. I would imagine they will connect in the next couple of weeks. It's not like you're going to sit them. You can't trade them now unless your trade deadline was pushed back. We've already gone through a couple of weeks of trade deadlines for most leagues. Mike Evans did not perform in the Bucs win against the Colts. Neither did Godwin. Fournette got everything, and Gronk got his share. of passes thrown his way. Then Thielen. Thielen just getting it done, even with Jefferson as wide receiver tight end 5. Thielen is wide receiver tight end 9, got in the end zone again in the Viking game against the Niners, and there's Stephon Diggs at 10. Will DeAndre Hopkins finally suit up? He has not been much of a factor since the October 24th game against Houston, and even that looked weird based on his hamstring issue, which apparently he aggravated in the October 28th game, and we haven't seen him at all the entire month of November. Cardinals at Bears on Sunday. I have no update as of the time of this podcast on the return of DeAndre Hopkins. I'm at the point where I kind of expect DeAndre Hopkins not to play. That's where we are with this, and that's why I traded him away in all three of my leagues this year. At some point, he will play, but week to week, he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. I'm not saying that to be negative. I'm just saying it selfishly as a fantasy owner, and that's why I traded him. I like DeAndre Hopkins. I want him to be healthy, but clearly this is a serious hamstring injury that he's been dealing with for some time. CeeDee Lamb should return for the Cowboys in their Thursday game against New Orleans. Full participant in Monday's practice. Of course, Cooper's coming off the COVID list. Mike McCarthy, insert your own joke here, won't be coaching the team on Thursday because of the Cowboys' COVID outbreak. Like I said, insert your own joke here about the team maybe being better off without McCarthy making the final call on game management. Now here's what I wonder, because Dan Quinn coordinates from the coach's box. Does this mean Dan will go down on the sideline since he's the head coach? It's kind of tough to be a head coach from the box. That's just my first question about Dan Quinn being the active head coach this week, because obviously in Atlanta he was on the sideline, but since he's been a coordinator in Dallas, he's done everything from the booth. All right, that'll do it. That's enough for now. I'll take your questions at ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Let me refresh one more thing, see if there's any more news I can give you. No. Keep checking status, depending on when this podcast posts. Some one or two other college football head coaches could be receiving $100 million contracts by the time this posts, between the time I recorded it and it actually posting. But that's how much that can change in our sports world. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, and we'll talk to you next time.